Welcome to the Splash Assess podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinley, and today we are here to recap Jeff Lewis Live, as we are every fucking week. But today it's the April 8th through April 12th recap, starting with Monday's episode. We had Mr. Jamie Kennedy and the new evolved Mercedes Javid. Mercedes Javid. So we start by talking about marriage, and Jeff wants MJ and her husband Tommy to be sure to work it out because he is having, I don't know, I guess a few custody struggles, you could say, with his own child. And when there's children involved, you just kind of want to stick as a family unit, even if, but yeah, I mean, you can say anything. You can be like, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't just stay and force yourselves to work it out if you're not happy, because that's even worse for the child's health. And it would be better if you were a family unit apart and just worked as a cohesive group, just like Gwyneth Paltrow tried to preach to everybody 15 years ago. But apparently, Jeff and Gage are taking the opposite route, and they're unconsciously coupling instead of consciously. But Jamie Kennedy kind of pointed that out, and just, I don't know, there's so many fucking theories left and right. He brought Dr. Drew into the chat and said that Dr. Drew's theory is if people come from a broken home, then they want to get married so they can have like stability and all that. But then if they come from stability, they avoid marriage because they don't need that stability because they already have it. If they go for Sunday dinner and green bean casserole at Mom and Pa's house and see them happily married. But the thing is, the happily married, I don't know. We know that I know nothing about marriage and long-term relationships, but I just see so many passive aggressive ones, you know, which I think one of them pointed out that, yeah, you can stay together and then just be passive aggressive. So is that good for everyone? I don't know. Just like everyone be fun and be happy. I don't, whatever that takes. Again, we'll all be dating aliens and robots soon, so we won't have to worry about humans anymore. it's scary. It's true. So then we talk about how Jeff Lewis has finally accepted his childhood, and how his parents did the best they could, even though he didn't like some of the choices they made. And he's evolved, and he could be angry at them, but he isn't. The only reason I'm giggling is because, you know, it's like a very privileged childhood as well. I have the same thing as Jeff. Like, even though I'm sure income brackets were a little different, like, I still feel like I had an extremely privileged childhood and very loved. It was great in so many ways. And just like Jeff, there's still things that I can get so livid about if I really want to like sit in it, whatever. But then you just kind of got to move on for your own sake. And yeah, let bygones be your gones, because they are not worth holding on to. And so, but also I know that Jeff, he suffered like real emotional trauma with his mom passing away, even though he doesn't talk about that often. And I don't think that's what he's talking about when he says he finally accepted his childhood. I would assume he's talking more about his dad, because I don't need to assume that he brought up his dad. And, but this was crazy, right? So he's talking about how he now understands how his dad shows love. And he's like, whereas some people might be very put off by his style of showing love because he's one of those very no-nonsense, gives his opinion when it's not asked, which can sometimes be very hurtful to those who he's giving his opinion about. But you got to understand, that's his love language. You know, that's his love language. And I was just like, and how the cycle continues, like father, like son. I mean, really, like, gives his opinion when it's not asked, and it can sometimes be very hurtful, but he doesn't mean it to be hurtful. Does that sound like anybody else to you, Jeff Lewis? I'm talking about the man in the mirror. In the mirror. Come on. No, really, come on. You got to see that. You got to see that for what it is. And I get it's in different ways that Jeff does it. See, that's the thing. Because Jeff might be like, Amy, what the fuck are you talking about? I do not do that to my child. Sure, sure. You broke the cycle with your child. What about all your friends and all your close core chums? I don't know. Don't you ever give your opinion when it's not asked, and it can sometimes be very hurtful, but you think that it's just his language? Yeah, that's the language he speaks. We could probably give an example right here with Chef Stew. I will never understand how Jeff Lewis could give his opinion about Chef Stew okay. Back this up. Chef Stew's mother passed away right before BravoCon, and there was a few days before the funeral, so Chef Stew went to BravoCon and then went back to Ireland to be with his family, and Jeff Lewis ripped him the fuck apart on live radio to a show on a platform with millions of subscribers. And Jeff, even though he likes to joke that he has 8 listeners, he always acknowledges at the end of the day that he has one of the most successful shows on the platform. Howard Stern who? Jeffrey Stern is here, and Jeffrey is very stern about the fact that Chef Stew should not have gone to BravoCon. And it's like, to me, sure, at the end of the day, would I have done that? Probably not. But it doesn't matter. Whenever somebody's in grieving, whatever they want to do is up to them. Like Chef Stew's relationship with his family in Ireland, that's up to him. And if he feels like they have it covered for a few days and he really wants to get his mind off of everything and he was so looking forward to BravoCon, and now that he's could be more depressed than ever if he goes home right now, or he could go to BravoCon and be around so many people who love him and take his mind off of things, sure, maybe he wants to go that route instead. The fact that Jeff ripped his ex-boyfriend of 48 hours apart on live radio because of his mom's funeral was so awful. Like, dude, his mom just died. Give the man a fucking break. If you're ever going to give him a break, that would be the time to do it. And yeah, that was not given. So, I mean, fucking, why are we sponsored by Snickers on Jeff Lewis Live? It should be fucking Kit Kats over here. Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat. You guys, jingles are really the way to go in advertisements. I swear, like, I will sing jingles in my house all fucking day long. Jingle bo jangles. So keep up the good work to the Kit Kat writers. Now, why was I ranting? Oh, yeah, because it was just, like, gross how Jeff did that with Chef Stew, and he still is attacking Chef Stew to this day on live radio. So, yeah, I was just like, Jeff, remember when you said that your dad shows love by giving his opinion where it's not wanted and thinking that he's helping people, but he's actually hurting them even more? Yeah, yes, yeah, again, like father, like son. So you better watch yourself. No, like that girl in Below Deck, check yourself. I just remember her yelling it to Kate Chastain. You better check yourself. That's what she said. And that's what she said. And that's what Jeff Lewis should do. Okay, so, and I never thought I'd be, it's so wild the way time works, you guys. That is why I kind of love having a podcast, because it's such a, like, landmark of just the universe. Like, in the very beginning, if you listen back to day one of SOS, I was, like, Chef Pooh, and, you know, I was kind of on that bandwagon. But then, once Jeff annihilated him and started to turn the pendulum and try to get us all against him, again, like he likes to do to all the people he introduces us to, makes us fall in love with them, and then he wants us to, again, all get on his bandwagon with our knives ready to stab them all in the back. And we ain't doing it. We ain't doing it, baby, okay? We ain't falling for your tricks. And also, in the beginning of SOS, Julie and Brandy hadn't even started the JLL after show yet. And when they did, I was so livid. I was such a bitter fucking Betty because I was like, they're going to absolutely crush it. Like, why would I need a podcast if they're going to absolutely crush this after show and it's going to be amazing and all of that? And then I realized we do different things and there's room for everybody. And then 40 episodes later, their fucking after show was already canceled. And I was like, what the fuck? I never saw that coming. So yeah, it's a great time capsule, this little thing. Okay, on JLL, we talk about the Cabo trip next and how Joey's husband had a headache after listening to all the guests complain about the man running around with a water gun squirting everybody. Like, what the? If I go on vacation at a resort and there's a man spraying me with a water gun for whatever reason, he thinks I'm a pedophile, he thinks whatever, but that water gun will be up your arse so fucking quick, bro. So fucking quick. No, I'd actually be like, what the fuck? What the fuck are you doing? Don't fucking do that. Don't do that. Okay, so Krista gave Joey's husband some medicine from her her trip to La Farmacia in Mexico, the Candyland of Mexico. Yeah, the Candyland for adults, because it just has all the funnest drugs, faux, no prescription. I was going to say faux free, but ain't nothing in life faux free, baby. I learned about opportunity costs and economics, okay? I fucking loved economics. Look up opportunity costs. That's pretty much how I analyze everything in life. So that's why I end up with the opportunity costs, spend so much time at home in my little castle with my cats because it's the best case scenario. So with Krista's medicine that she gave Joey's husband, so it was supposed to be something like Tylenol, but it turned out it was menstrual relief medicine, which knocked him the fuck out, which I'm sure he was grateful for because he had a headache anyway. So like, what's the quickest cure for a headache? Just let me sleep. Just let me go. I want to go to bed. Like, all medicine should just put you to sleep. But the only reason I wanted to talk about this is because it just made me cackle to realize that menstrual relief medicine literally just knocks you out. It just puts you to sleep. That's their solution. Oh, ladies, do you feel like you're giving birth to a concrete block in your uterus? That's what I always feel like for like 3 days. 3 days a month, I feel like there's a concrete block just laying in my uterus. The rest of the month, there's concrete blocks laying over me as well, but that's just my cats. I swear, does anybody else, like, even if your dog, whatever, they like lay on your chest and I'm like, I have 12 pounds on my heart right now. Like, I can't, my lungs can't take this. Like, fucking move over, fatty. Oh, but they're so cute. You can't. So I just suffer instead. So yeah, I just really think that all medicine should put you the fuck to sleep. And can we all have trips to La Farmacia every day for eternity? Thank you. That'll be great. What if the robots and aliens, they just drug us the whole time? That must be a sci-fi movie. I don't want to talk about it anymore. What I do want to talk about, this is so great. Oh, Jeff Lewis wishes I let this one slide, but you know I can't, baby. You know I can't. You know I keep them in if I do it myself because they're so fucking funny. It's so funny to me. We had the word fumble of the century, you guys. All right, so Jeff went to talk about shark attacks, and Mercedes was reporting on orca whales attacking boat rudders. And all I could think about was in Finding Nemo, like, he touched the butt. Well, and Finding Nemo is also like one of the most quotable movies of all times, of my generation. Talking about my generation. Ew. I swear I'm sober and I am not. I haven't taken anything from La Farmacia, but we just having a little fun over here. So Jamie Kennedy was like, wait, so why are we so scared of sharks right now? And Jeff was like, because there's shark frenzies. And I was like, fart frenzies. I don't care what fucking age you are. Fart things will never not be funny. Oh my God, it was so good. Oh, my, a fart frenzy. Okay. And then it was also so funny because Jamie was like, wait, why are we so scared of sharks right now? And then literally 2 minutes later, he was like, oh my God, there's sharks attacking everywhere in California and this and that. And I'm like, what the? So you do know why we're scared of sharks. Why are you even asking the question? All right. Then we talk about a chump versus a listener, because somebody at Jamie's show was like, I'm a chump. And then somebody else was like, fuck Trump. And it was...
That's funny.
But then the person was like, wait, I'm not actually a chump. I'm just a listener. And somebody did that to Jeff at the resort as well, if you recall. The girl who was merely on vacation trying to enjoy this beautiful La Cabo Rita getaway. And poor her got blasted on the radio for just existing on her vacation. And yeah, she basically said the same thing. I'm a listener, not a chump. And I agree. Again, go back to the fucking archives, of La Splash O'Sass, because I said the exact same, but we're chump adjacent here. I'm chump adjacent and not Trump adjacent, chump adjacent. But who knows nowadays, because everything is scary with that. We're not even talking about elections. Why am I? Okay, because it's like, Jeff, the way you talk about chump sometimes, why would you want to be? And then you say things like, we're not into things like the devil's lettuce over here in the chump world. And I'm like, well, then I'm definitely not a chump, because I mean, fuck your Pharmacia and your vodka. I will eat the devil's lettuce all fucking day. Puff, puff, pass, and you know we gonna smash, bitch. Okay, so then we talk about Jameson's birthday. Happy, happy birthday to Jameson tomorrow. Hey, record scratch. So he had his birthday party when Jeffrey was away. Good call, Jameson. He's loining. When I work in like certain offices, I've had so many fucking jobs. I'm really stable, huh? If you can tell. Oh my God, that was so, with such a cackle. No, but I always have like separation of church and state. I almost just had a word fumble on myself, right? I almost said separation. Separation of church and state. A separation of like my work, people, and my real life. Although I will do like drinks right after work for like 1 hour or two, which I was like, why isn't Jeff taking Jameson out for drinks? Like, why aren't they doing a mini chump just like, again, like right after at like 5 p.m. or something, just for an hour, maybe across the street from SiriusXM, maybe do a little quick brunch, a little lunch. I don't know, a fun work lunch. I feel like the fun days are over and girls just want to have fun. So let us have fun. Talk about fun. Caller Amy. Caller Amy coming in hot. No, the Jeff Lewis studio was coming in hot at Amy. They all start screaming at her. Poor little Amy from Nebraska. I wonder if every time an Amy calls in, they're like, oh fuck, is it gonna like secretly be that bitch that has a podcast about us? It's not. Spoiler alert, it won't be. Thank you. I did call in like 4 years ago or something. I don't know time anymore. I think it was. And again, there are stories that I will totally tell. I just can't give everything away for free. So one day. Why am I so singy? I'll stop. I'm very musical today. All right. So caller Amy, she is actually from the hometown of Gage. Hometown of Gage, Nebraska. And it was so awkward for Amy. Awkward Amy moment. So she was like, sorry, Jeff. Like, none of my friends will listen to you. I've tried so hard to make them. And I was like, same girl. That's literally why I started this podcast, is because I've recommended Jeff to so many friends, family, whatever. And they're all like, I think, you know, like once you recommend something and then the next episode, you're like, oh, I can't wait for them to see this or watch this or listen to this. And then the next episode, you're like, oh, fuck, I hope they didn't tune in to that one, because that one was a little off kilter for, like, oh, I recommended Jeff Lewis Live, and then the next time they listen, he's absolutely annihilating his old producer, Jen Green. Poor Jen Green, who already suffered enough on her own, just in her own world. If you lose a job, you already are losing friends, losing cred in the industry that you're in, whatever. But then to have a little twat with millions of listeners and a little chump army on fucking Insta social to go after Jen Grant, like, poor, it's just too much. It's too much. And it was too much when they screamed at poor little Amy. So justice for Amy's. So, but I also just wanted to note, like, it's just funny that another Amy tried to get people to listen to Jeff Lewis and they were also unsuccessful. So you just got to listen to Splash of Sass, girl. We got you. That's what, well, we need to talk about these things. You know, that's what you got to, it's like shit happens on it and you're like, oh my God, I have opinions and no one in my life wants to talk about this. So what do you do in that scenario? It's 2024. You start a fucking podcast. You got it, baby. All right, so then I just want to ask, like, Mercedes Javid, why was she talking in such a soft voice this whole episode? It was so bizarre. It was a very stark contrast to Jamie Kennedy's voice, which is very like, I did that, probably like a little Joja Siwa-ish, you know, but even at the very end of the episode, like, Jeff was like, and thanks, Mercedes, and she was like, thank you for having me, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. And it was just like, well, I just be stronger. Mercedes, we've heard you a million different ways and a million different tones in your voice. Like, I don't get this, like, meek one. I'm not, if this is your evolved one, back to the drawing board. Moving on to Tuesday's show, we had Sarah Colonna and Zach Noe Towers giving golden showers. Yeah, it's happy hour. That's just his Zachy powers. Austin Powers. All right, so today's actually Jameson's birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, blah, 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 blah. That's why I want people to sing happy birthday to me on my birthday. So I don't have to sit there for fucking the longest 45 seconds of my life as everybody cracks the fucking windows and any glassware in your house being like, happy birthday. I love going silent during the high note. I just, it's the little things in life to get you by. Okay, so we talk about seat preferences on a plane. Middle versus aisle versus window seat. They all have, you want the window for the view, but then sometimes you just kind of like, if it's a cold winter's day, you want to be in the middle so you can be like snuggled in between two strangers. And then if you're ready to drink liquids, you got to be in the aisle. You got to be in the aisle. But if you're not, you guys, talk about splash o' ass. Like, I will literally put my ass in your face to climb over you. I don't care if you're sleeping. I don't care if you're awake. I've literally like sat in people's laps to get over them. And I wish the same for all of you. I wish the same for everybody in this world. I hate when I hear people like having to hold it in because they feel bad about, like, what the fuck ever. If somebody's annoyed that you're inconveniencing them for 10 seconds, then they can get the fuck over it. Like, don't let that ruin your mood, boo. And if you're the one that's getting all kerfuffled because somebody else is trying to pee, like, just let them be. Let them pee, let them be. That's what the Beatles were really singing. Let them pee, let them pee. Oh, fuck. I'm never going to be able to hear that song the same again. When you find yourselves in times of trouble, let them pee, let them pee. Oh my God, that should be, you guys, Jenny Poulos, she did like a child's rap about pooping and stuff. I remember that from Flipping Out. She should do a like adult song and she should remake Let It Be to Let It Pee. Boom, you got that idea for free from me, Jenny. Oh, I'm gonna laugh about that one later. Okay, so Chef Stew and Matt Rogers are fucking. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to laugh about that. I'm still laughing about Let Him Pee. Oh wait, well, sorry, I don't mean they're dating and fucking. Maybe it's all alleged, sure. But they went out on two dates, though, and they were in, like, TMZ or Daily Mail about it. And Jeff was like, someone has a great publicist to be leaking this info after two dates. Like, damn, how fucking thirsty. How thirsty can you get? And the funny thing is, I didn't think the same, but I have been curious because Chef Stew is randomly, he was on TMZ, like, for, I forget what the article was, I didn't click on it, but it was like giving his opinion about some chef or like something going on. And I was like, why the fuck is Chef Stew on TMZ giving his opinion about that? Like, it was so fucking random. And then cut to like a week or two later, now he's in the news again for him and Matt Rogers going on two dates. So I thought the same thing before Jeff even said that. I was like, damn, his publicist is hard at work. And like, don't hate the game. Hate the play. No, don't hate the player. Hate the game. And Jeff Lewis is hating the player right now, not the game. Boom. You got to reframe and hate the game. Bitch, you're welcome. You're fucking welcome. But also, Jeff kind of tried to blow up that relationship between Chef Stew and Matt Rogers. So it's honestly probably over by now. But Jeff was like, yeah, I mean, Stew was texting me as of 2 weeks ago. So just hope Matt knows that. Hope Matt knows that if Chef Stew's trying to be sneaky, it's because he's being real sneaky. If you think he's cheating, it's because he's sucking somebody else's dick. We were like, whoa, whoa, okay, all right. That's okay. So you're over it. You're not bitter about that one, huh? Remember how Jeff was saying, like, a couple weeks ago, how Julian Brandy, he was like, yeah, I used to be bitter at my old boss and angry about them and whatever. And then when I let that all go, I was so much happier. So Julian Brandy should stop being mad at me and just let it all go. Let it all the fuck go. And we were all like, I think there's a lot more to it than that, bud. But so I'm just saying it's the same thing as him being like his dad, but not with Monroe, just with other people. Like now he's telling Julian Brandy that they need to let it go and stop being angry at him and talking about him. But he is angry at Chef Stew and keeps on talking about Chef Stew and being mad at him. So, okay. All right. Isn't it all the fucking same at the end of the day? Seems like it to me. Potato, potato. Potato patitty. All right, now look at potatoes the same and don't try to not think of patitties. Just a couple of patitties sitting there. I'll take my patitty with extra sour cream if you know what I mean, baby. Ew! Ew, I don't know what that means, all right? But I just want to say that Jeff Lewis seems like the type, so I'm not trying to be one of the Heather McDonald predictionist. Ew, she like hires all, oh my God, instead of the psychic Cleo, right? She was the thing. Heather, and she has like all of her little psychics, whatever. Heather becomes like prediction Patty, and she, or I guess she can be prediction Heather, and she has all of her little predictionists and like little ones working for her, and I'm like one of the little minions making predictions. No, but if I did, I would say that Jeff seems like the type to go and fuck Chef Stew in the upcoming weeks just to be like, hey, Matt, this is exactly what type of person Chef Stew is. Guess what? He sucked my dick last night, bitch. And we'd all be like, what? And he'd be like, and I only did it just to prove to you that that's exactly what he would do to you. He's a piece of shit. That's why I let him suck my dick all fucking night, baby. I'm just saying, watch it happen. Watch what happens live. Okay, so we talk about Sarah Colonna's snack of choice, which is Cheez-Its and martinis, grown-ass snack or something. And Jeff was like, I cannot even keep Cheez-Its in the fucking house. It is way too addictive. I was like, preached. I learned that like a decade ago because it literally, Cheez-Its added at least 10 pounds onto my body in my youth. Guys, I'm really happy that the don't ask, don't tell policy doesn't exist anymore. However, one policy that does work, just like Jeff Lewis said, is don't buy, don't eat. Don't buy, don't eat. Oh my, it works, you guys, I swear. Just don't fucking buy the Cheez-Its and buy extra martinis and you'll be perfect. You'll be loving life. Okay, so we go back to talking about the Cabo trip, and this is so funny. Jeff asked one of the hotel staff, like, give me the juicy scoop, baby. Tell me all the celebrities that have come and gone. Who has been a nightmare? I want to hear all of the deets. And the employee was like, everyone's been great. I don't know what you're talking about. And Jeff was like, oh, that's so lame. I want to know who's been a nightmare diva around this resort. Has anybody been, I don't know, running around here with a squirt gun, shooting random people with it? Has anybody been live recording up in their little fucking hotel room with a bird's eye view of the resort, talking shit about all the people trying to enjoy their Cabo vacation? They everybody at the resort should have gotten code Jeff20. Code Jeff20 and gotten 20% off of their stay. Just because they had to suffer through that. No, but like, it was so funny to me because as Jeff was saying this, I'm like, how do you not realize this, Jeff? Like, you are the celebrity that you're asking about. Like, if I was that employee and Jeff asked me that, I would have simply walked him over to the mirror and just giving him a little nod of acknowledgement. Like, he would have known. He would have understood. Yeah, and, like, I'm sure the next person to ask this employee, like, who was the biggest nightmare around this resort? First answer, Jeffrey Lewis, baby. Jeffrey Lewis. And you heard it here first. Okay, so let's move on to the Wednesday episode. We had Tyler Cameron and baby Megan Weaver, bitch. Fucking all your beavers, bitch. Okay, so we talk about Jojo Siwa, Seaweed. And Tyler Cameron had worked with her before, really likes Jojo. And Jeff was like, huh, you like her? Well, get ready, because we're about to talk a whole lot of shit. No, but he was like, don't you think she's a little odd, though? And Tyler was like, huh, we're all odd, don't you think, Jeff? Tyler just pulls out a mirror and just... We all just keep on doing that to Jeff. It's like a universal bit that everyone does. Anytime he asks a question, people just pull out a mirror so he can... You're... Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. No, I love you, Jeff. So much. But Jeff was like, no, I get it. We are all odd. But, like, she's just really odd. Something's, like, really wrong kind of odd. Now... I just want to say, I don't know Jojo Siwa. Here's the thing, like, if somebody bothers you, they don't need to be in your stratosphere. I guess if you're going to the GLAAD Awards and things like that, sure, she happened to be in your eyesight and you couldn't really miss her with that outfit. But it's also like, I couldn't even name you one Jojo Siwa song. I'd have never heard her. Like, I never bought her products. It's the same with the Kardashians. Like, I don't follow them on Instagram. I don't even have social media besides the podcast. But, like, I don't buy their shit. And that's fine if you do. That's great if you do. I'm just saying, some people, like, they don't have to be in your stratosphere. You don't have to be some of a part of their success. Like, if you don't like them, if I'm going to talk shit about the Kardashians, then I'm not going to also buy their products. So, like, then I feel like if they are successful, it's not because of me. It's not because of fucking me. And I just want to say with Jojo Siwa, okay, the way that I defend Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen, because they were like mega childhood stars to me and they were just a few years above, whatever, like, so such icons in my childhood. I could see somebody from the next generation feeling the same about Jojo Siwa. Like, she was such a big part of my childhood. So if she wants to go run around to be crazy now, like, we're going to let her because she was on reality TV since, like, what, 6 fucking years old? That she's been working since 6 years old. Like, what the fuck? And not even just on a reality show, one of the most batshit, unhinged, terrifying reality shows of all time known as Dance Moms, okay? Oh my God. So with these childhood stars, we have seen so many of them go on the wrong path. Maybe even have their path cut short, if you know what I mean. You know? So it's just, if Jojo wants to, like, dress crazy and, oh, sure, great, do it. Like, again, if you don't contribute in any way to her success, then why do you give a shit? So justice for JoJo? I don't know. Then Tyler Cameron also, he brings up Bryn Whitfield from the new Roni and how much he loves her so much. And I was just like, oh my God, Tyler. Talk about Jeff's love language. You're speaking the opposite of Jeff's love language right now, saying that you love JoJo, you love Bryn Whitfield. I was waiting for him to start raving about Jenny Poulos next like that. Oh, I would have loved that. So I would have loved that. Okay, so then we talk about how Tyler Cameron almost, like, did wrestling, something, I don't know. And Jeff was like, isn't that a little gay? Isn't that a little gay? And Tyler was like, why the fuck did I sign up for this show again? Why am I here? But really, though, I am kind of with Jeff on this one. Like, I've actually never understood how boys, especially in high school, like, how are they not all just getting hard? Are they all getting hard? I don't know. I'm not going to high school wrestling matches, but like, even with that, I don't know. Like, don't guys just like touchy? I don't know. I feel like I would get turned off. I would. So I'm really glad there's a lot of negatives to being a girl, but one of the positives is that you can't see our erections. Or maybe some you can. Who am I to judge? All right. So also Tyler Cameron has a show on Amazon, and since Jeff does too, Jeff was trying to give him all this advice, and it was so funny because he was like, so yeah, I mean, they're going to be like really slow to like put out your episodes, whatever. And then they're going to like say it's on released on this date, but then they're going to release it on a different day of the week. And it's going to be really confusing and all that shit. And Tyler was like, oh, I mean, we just like release them all at once. And Jeff was like, oh, well, they're also going to do this and that. And Tyler was like, no, we actually did it like this. And like everything was the opposite. I was like, is that the difference between being on Freevee and being on regular Amazon Prime? Because I would also like that question answered by Michael Beck. Like, why the fuck did you advertise the show as Hollywood Housewife to release on new episodes Wednesdays and then always release them on Tuesdays? I don't know if you think you were doing the viewers a favor, but what the fuck? It's like, I like consistency, especially with shows. Like, it looks unprofessional to say one day and then release it another. But again, hey, just my little opinion over here. Okay, moving on to Thursday's episode, we had Kelly Ben-Simmons and Chaz Dane at the College of Trump University. Not to be confused with Trump University. Fuck Trump! No, that was Jamie Kennedy's show. It's a callback. I'm not just randomly trying to throw my nose into that shit. Okay, so Kelly has to dye her hair every 7 to 10 days just to cover grays. Doesn't that seem like a lot of maintenance to you? Also, I feel like Kelly Ben-Simmons has such a pretty face, especially when her skin is so tan, all of that. Like, I feel like she could pull off silver hair so fucking perfect. Perfectly. Get her with silver hair on the cover of Vogue, okay? Tell me that is not a cover girl in the making. Well, I think she's been a cover girl years already made. She's a cover girl in the made. Okay, so Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. Jeff was like, Kelly, oh my God, I just admire you so much. You're an inspiration to us all. Because there was this one scene where you were on the phone and the other girls were like, get off the phone, Kelly. And you yell back, I'm working. I'm a single mom with two kids to feed. Shut the fuck up, people. I got shit to do. And Jeff was like, I just couldn't believe how raw and vulnerable you were at that moment. And I can't believe the other girl shamed you for that. They shamed you for wanting to work? And Chaz was like, oh my God, yeah, who would work shame you like that? So weird. And Kelly was like, I know. How dare they shame me? They were like, oh, how awful. You want to work? You just want to work, work? That's so terrible. It's terrible. I'm like, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay in that studio? Because I think that the point that the girls on Real Housewives Ultimate Trip were trying to make is like, if you're filming a reality show and all the cast members are just on the phone doing deals back home all day, then you don't really have a show. Okay? So like, I think they were all like, Kelly, put the fucking phone down. We have were being paid an exorbitant amount, six figures, to be on a vacation for 5 fucking days. You can put the phone down for 5 days and seal the deal after that, or pretend to go to the bathroom and do it, whatever. Like, you're interrupting our scene just to remind everybody that you're a realtor. And I get it. It's great marketing for Kelly Ben Simon to remind everybody that she's a realtor, and that if they're in New York trying to buy a $50 million mansion that is gonna get raw, I don't know, like everything, women get punched in New York, I heard. The streets are crazy these days. I feel like a hysterical person. I'm like, oh, I don't know. The way they talk about New York, it's not looking like the Big Apple. It's looking like the Scary Apple, if you ask me. It's looking like it used to be a delicious apple, and then it turned into the Snow White, like the witch, like during COVID or something, and now it's turned into the poisonous apple, and I don't really want to take a bite out of that. Okay. So then there, you guys, there was another fucking caller named Amy. What is happening? What is happening? I don't even know what she talked about. I forgot. It wasn't important. Sorry. Love you, Amy. But it was just, I feel like this is like the third one in 2 weeks. And it's just a very Amy heavy. So I don't know if that's a sign from the universe that Jeff should answer my DM, but I say yes. I say yes, because he did mention later, like, oh my God, us chums, like, if we have somebody who says that they're not successful and they're honest about it and they just, like, need help, then we are so here to help them. And I'm like, What? Again, yeah, I know you ain't talking about the man in that mirror, in that fucking mirror right there. No, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. You don't have to help everyone, okay? He's not Captain Save-A-Ho. Some hoes need to save their goddamn selves. But shout out to all the caller Amy's. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. I love hearing my name. My namey. Yeah. Oh my God. All right. I always start to lose it at the end of these episodes. Moving on to the Friday episode, we had Crystal Kung Minkoff and Michael Beck. What the heck? The little she-devil himself, which, by the way, is he not John Hill's doppelganger voice-wise? I don't know, Pennywise or looks-wise, but for sure voice-wise. That's how I like match people by different, like, those eyes are the same eyes as my aunt. Those nails are the same nails as my dead grandpa. Like, you know, it's just whatever. And Michael Beck's voice is the same as John Hill's. Just like Chaz Dean and Joey Zauzik. I want them all to be in a room at once. I just want like voice twins. Remember in Friends when Joey wanted a hand twin? They went to Las Vegas and Joey, why can't I think of his last name? Did the Friends people have last name? Rachel Green, Joey Fatone, Joey Baloney, whatever. Anyways, he wanted to be hand twins with a guy. And that's what I want, a convention of everybody with like a weird twin from a different, like some weird body part or some, not a weird body part. All our body parts are beautiful. Okay. So then we find out that Jeff got a DM from Dumois, huh? Awesome. Jeff, you do get your DMs. You do. Okay. All right. Got to know. Got to fucking know. Well, yeah. But the Dumois said that he kissed Shane, which is incest. Incest in the Trump world is unacceptable. Citizens fine for all. So, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. It was just somebody fucking, like, I don't know, peeking out of the shrubs as they were getting into their car valeted. Like, what? To me, you guys, it just feels like Los Angeles is one giant game of Gossip Girl. And they don't realize that in the end, an earthquake is just going to come and swallow them all up whole. They're planning out their Hollywood endings. Literally, they're like, oh, I'm going to have a beautiful life up in the hills. Da, da, da. I'm like, San Andreas is about to make everything its fault. Everything is going to be San Andreas' fault. Why did your life end? Because of San Andreas. It was San Andreas' fault. Why did your house combust to smithereens? San Andreas' fault. Google it. Okay, then we talk about Mike, but also I just, like, how annoying, though. It doesn't sound fun. I feel like everybody from LA is like, oh my God, everybody wants to be us and live our life. No, we don't. No, we don't. Some of us like to be able to do things and not have it be reported to the masses. The masses. As I say here, having a podcast. Okay, then we talk about micropenises. That's why I'm on a pod. I just want to talk about micropenises. And Michael Beck, he tells his experience where he was so caught off guard, he asked the guy to leave. That's a citizen's fine right there. Like, that's what I'm saying. This is why citizen's fines work, because we all need to hold each other accountable. And it's like, for that guy with a micropenis, that sucks that he didn't get sucked. You know, it sucks that he didn't get sucked. And so he should be like, Michael Beck, for your judgment of me, here's a $100. Actually, it should be a micro fine since it's a micropenis. You owe me one penny. Oh my God. Yeah, no, but we all have a micro penis story, right? Right? I mean, if my micro penis story also includes a car crash and a dirty tampon. I think the tampon was bigger than the penis for sure, actually. But also, I've said that I need to be paid for something before I just share all the tales. Then I'd have nothing left. Okay, so then we talk about how Jeff has a friend that likes to exaggerate things, and then it ends up turning into lies, blatant lies. Like, he hears them retelling a story that he was there for, and he's like, wait, that didn't happen like that. That's blah, blah, blah. And Shane's like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing that you call it out. And I'm like, but why do you even have to call it out? Why is your friend exaggerating or lying? Like, that's weird. So I'm kind of glad Jeff calls it out, because that's fucking weird. But I think he's probably talking about Krista, right? Krista Llamas? I don't know. Sounded like it allegedly to me. No, speaking of Krista Llamas, though, you guys, Joey Zalzig, the robbery. Now, it took Michael Beck to bring this up with 8 minutes to go. 8 minutes on the game clock on Friday afternoon. That is what it took for us to finally talk about Joey Zalzig's home invasion on JLO. Like, it was just so weird to me that Jeff didn't bring it up the rest of... Maybe he wanted Joey to be on to, like, tell it firsthand, tell his own side of it before he commented on it, because he doesn't want to lose any more friends by making fun of them and, like, pretending that, being like, oh, did Joey really get robbed, or did he just want that insurance check? But speaking of, so Joey got robbed, like, I think it was the day after they got back from Cabo, maybe before they even got back. No, but I think he was home when it happened. And I just want to say, that is so scary to go on vacation with Krista Llamas, because every time somebody does go on vacation with her, a felony occurs after, or a potential alleged felony occurs. First with Heather McDonald allegedly borrowing her $10,000 earrings that turned out to be $42 earrings, and then she lost them, and Jeff went on live radio and said that Heather committed a felony, which, if anybody had that said about you, your stomach would fall into your arsehole and out the other side. Like, you don't do that shit to somebody. You cause, Jeff, the emotional trauma you cause Miss McDonald, unacceptable, citizens fine forever. But then for Joey to come home and to have a home invasion happen to him, a potential felony there, like, what the fuck? I would be scared to go on vacation with Krista Llamas. Okay, so then we find out that Crystal Minkoff's husband, Rob, is legally blind. Because when he takes his glasses off, he can't see her, which is, like, kind of nice and kind of scary at the same time. Like, you can just be as ugly as you want to, even though Crystal's beautiful. But it's also, like, a little scurry if you need a midnight driver, you know? It's like, he's the only why they're rich, so they don't have the same problems as others. Okay, but when Crystal says that her husband's legally blind, and we know that Rob is the director, I believe, of Lion King, which I only quote all the fucking time, talk about quotable movies, move over, Finding Nemo, hello, Zazu, I laugh in the face of danger. So, yeah, he's a multimillionaire, Crystal as well, with her coconut empire, and it's just like, can't millionaires afford LASIK? LASIK surgery, because I know non-millionaires can. So is he too blind to even get LASIK? Like, that was my question. And somebody brought up LASIK. Who else was on? Michael Beck. What the heck, Michael Beck? How could I forget? And I think he brought it up, like, LASIK. And I was like, yeah, but why isn't somebody asking Crystal directly why Rob specifically hasn't gotten LASIK? Like, I would like to know why people with so much fucking money don't solve problems like that. Like, to me, being blind is, that's a problem I would like to fix if money can, because I know that you're not ugly, you're just poor. And I thought, like, also, you're not blind, you're just poor. You're not hungry, you're just poor. You're not stupid, you're just poor. Like, you're just fucking poor. And, yeah, so pour me up a glass of that Kit Kat bar. All right, well, if anybody sees Crystal this weekend, ask her why the fuck Rob can't get LASIK. And we'll be back next week to ask more riveting questions. Okay, have the best week ever. I love you guys so much. Bye.
Splash. Splash, splash.